Okay, we continue in this long sugya of where the principal issue here is the source of shlichus by divorce, marriage, truma, and slaughtering of kachin, and for that matter, anything else. And we're basically at the point where we said there is a definite source why we need to have a shliach by divorce from vishilcha, and we learn marriage from that. We said there's a definite source. We originally said there was a source for truma of gamatem, and there was also a source for kachim. When it says that the entire Jewish people slaughter the animal, we see that you can make a shliach for that. The Gemara then asks, well, why do you need a separate source for truma? You could learn truma from divorce and kachim. The Gemara said, you're right. We could learn it from that. To which the Gemara then said, so then what do I need? Gam atem. Those two extra words by truma of gam atem. Well, what do you need that for? So that was point 29. Why does the Torah need to write also you? Gemara says, to teach us Rabbi Yannai's teaching that said just you, also you, means to say they have to be a member of the covenant, which excludes a non-Jew. Gam atem excluded a non-Jew. To which Gemara said, wait a minute, we would know that that is excluded anyway, because we learned from Rabbi Chiya bar Abba in point 33, a Canaanite slave, for example, can't be a shlich for a get of divorce, or kizik kiddushin, because he doesn't apply to him. The whole concept doesn't apply to him. And likewise, truma only applies to Jews and not to goyim. So what do I need a gam atem to exclude goyim for? If you're not in that category at all, if you can't do it yourself, you can't be an agent for anybody. We have that rule. So we ended off and said, you're right. You're right. Kiddushin and divorce does not apply to slaves, because it doesn't apply to them. But a non-Jew, if he does separate truma, it is truma. That was the insight. So a non-Jew can separate truma, because if you recall, we said there's also a din in the land. There's a din in the land. And the land is a holy land, so therefore if a non-Jew separates truma, it is truma. So I would think he could be a shliach for a Jew as well. To which the Mishnah says, and that's what the Mishnah taught us, if it's 35, if a non-Jew or kusi separate Jew becomes truma. So therefore we need the pasuk 36, so we need Rabbi Yannai, says, gam atem, to exclude non-Jews of being a shliach to separate truma, because they are in the category of giving truma. So I would have thought they could also be a shliach, and gam atem says no. Only someone is a Jew, or in a Baal Bris, for that matter, an Eved Kenani, can be your shaliach. And that's where we ended off last week. So, to summarize the summary, that it comes out, we need a source, and we have a source that shlichus helps by divorce, and from that we learn marriage to divorce. We know of a pasuk by kachim that shlichus helps by kachim. And for that matter, we would learn the rest of the Torah from that shlichus helps. What do I do with the extra words, gam atem, by truma, and especially as we learn truma from kachim and divorce. So what do I gam atem for? Gam atem, to exclude a non-Jew. Why do we have to exclude a non-Jew from shlichus? Because since a non-Jew may give truma, we would think he could be a shliach, and we say he cannot be a shliach from gam atem. That's where we're up to. The Gemara now is going to say, well, that's all good and well, according to the opinion that says that a non-Jew who gives truma is truma. We're going to find now opinion Rabbi Shimon, who's going to say that a non-Jew cannot give his own truma. So if a non-Jew does not give his own truma, then I don't have anything for Gam Atem to exclude, since he's not at all in the category of Truma. That's going to be the next question of the Gemara. Gemara now asks, Ula Rabbi Shimon, but according to Rabbi Shimon, that we're going to see in a minute, Dipotar, who exempts a non-Jew's Truma from being Truma, and we'll see what this is all about. There's a whole thing over here about a penalty of chomesh. What happens if you eat a Yisrael eats truma. Well, there's a lot of bad things happen, but from a financial point of view, there has to be restitution made to the Kohanim because you stole Kohanim's food. And on top of that, you got to give one-fifth. Let's take a look at this note over here. We'll see. Since Rabbi Shimma maintains that, now that's if regular truma, if you eat it, you got to pay an extra chomesh, an extra fifth. We're going to see shortly, Rabbi Shimon maintains that this payment is not applicable to truma an idolater gave from his crop. If an idolater separated truma, and now you eat the goy's truma, you don't pay the fifth. Well, from that halacha, it's evident that he does not consider produce separated by an idolater to have the status of truma at all, at least not on a biblical level. And on the biblical level is what we're concerned with, because Gam Atem is a biblical pasuk. Gemara thus argues that according to Reb Shimon, it's obvious that an idolater cannot be a Jew's agent to separate truma, for we can easily derive this by applying Reb Yochanan's principle that we said, that one cannot be an agent in an area of law which does not apply to him. According to Reb Shimon, then the phrase Gam Atem remains extra. What are we going to do with Gam Atem? As we will now see in the following Mishnah. Ditzna. We learn a Mishnah, it's Machlokis. We'll see. There's an opinion that says a goy's truma is truma, Reb Shimon says not. The Tanakhama says, Trumas ove kechavim, if a non-Jew does separate truma, there's two halachas that apply to it. Okay? Now, we have real truma. The one we mentioned was chomesh. Another one is, what if truma, by accident, gets mixed into other regular crops, and you can't distinguish them from each other? Let's say, person separated, he had oranges. Okay, he had oranges. And he says, okay, I'm going to give 2% to the coin. He separated, there's the oranges for the coin. Okay, then, and he had it clearly separated. Then, I don't know what happened, he wasn't so careful how he separated things. A huge windstorm came that night. Huge. Next morning, he sees that everything that was separated, it's all mishkababble together. And now it's got truma mixed with this. Now what are you going to do? That's called truma midama'as. If it's been mixed into that, now it's not good over here because now you need...
Will you separate again?
Well, no, you can't separate again. You can't separate again because you have holy truma that for sure is truma mixed in non-holy crops.
Wow.
That's a serious problem. Now, the only way that you can get out of this is you have to have a ratio of non-truma to truma, a ratio of 100 to 1. Then it can nullify it. If you don't have that ratio of 100 to 1, now, it depends how much of that truma crop got mixed in. If the entire truma crop got mixed in, you're not going to have 100 to 1 because you gave 1/50th. So you're going to have less than that amount and it can wreck it up. Or if you just took, if a guy, one orange, you know, in your hand, I'm going to give the coin an orange, it slipped out of your hand, went into the bin of the non-truma, you had 78 oranges in the other bin, and one orange falls in, boom, you're finished. You have big troubles over there. All right? Now, so the question now is, and the other law we said is, if you eat truma that we weren't supposed to, not only have to pay the amount of the truma back, you have to pay an additional penalty of a fifth. Those are two laws for truma. So now the question is, what if an idol worshiper, a non-Jew, separated truma? Then his truma got mixed into other regular food, or a Yisrael ate the goy's truma. Do the standard laws of truma apply to the goy's truma that he separated? So the first opinion of the Mishnah says, Trumas avodas kochavim, the truma that was given by a non-Jew, number one, midamas, does create a prohibition if it get mixed into regular food. And also, I jumped too fast, v'chayovim alohev chomesh, and also you have to eat a fifth, you have to pay back a fifth. Okay? So he has to pay back to the Kohen as a principal plus a penalty.
That's saying it's truma like anything else.
Yes, that's the first opinion.
Yeah.
Now we're going to come to Reb Shimon now and one says, it's a machlokes. This is a Mishnah in Trumas. So the first opinion says straight out, a goy's truma is like regular truma. Finished. That's good. That's how we answered our question originally. Right. Since a goy can give truma, I might have thought he could be a shliach. Kama temps is not a shliach. But here's the problem. So that's all good according to the Tanakhama. But this answer has to be an answer for everybody. But for Reb Shimon, Shimon argues, poter. He says, no. You're free from the 1/5 penalty, and also if it gets mixed up as well, you don't have to. There's a whole long spiel over here. Let's see. The Gemara understands that the reason Reb Shimon exempts the non-coin consumer of the idolater's truma for paying a penalty of the fifth is because he does not consider this produce to be truma at all from a biblical standpoint. That is, although Reb Shimon would concede that regarding some matters, such produce is treated as truma by rabbinic law, he may agree that rabbinically, because remember, the rabbis are going to be strict. We don't want to get confused, non-Jewish truma and Jewish truma. But remember, but gamatem is a pasuk in the Torah, so we're worried about the biblical level. He nevertheless maintains that on a biblical level, an idolater simply lacks the capacity to cause his produce to become truma. Okay? So therefore, now the question becomes, according to Reb Shimon, who says that a non-Jew separating truma has no status of truma, what do I do? What is gamatem excluding? It can't be excluding a non-Jew, because we've already learned that if you're not in the category at all, it can't be a shliach to begin with. So what's he going to use it to exclude? Morris says he's going to use it to exclude something else, and for that matter, this can be used by everybody. Now let's look at a bunch of other people. I learn a few more halachas, first of all, and then we'll see. But now the Gemara, this is the conclusion of the question. Conclusion of the question is, so atem gam atem lomali. So what do we learn? The drasha of you also, how's that going to help? What's it coming to exclude? Doesn't have to exclude a goy. So he's saying like this. Itzrich, we still need it. For what? He's going to say, he's now going to say an answer that's going to go back and answer an original question. Let's go back a few steps back. We said, well, listen, why do I need a separate pasuk for shlichus of truma? I could learn it out from divorce and kachim. Gemara says, you're right. You could learn it out from divorce and kachim. So now we're stuck. What are we going to do with gamatem? Gemara's going to say, you know what? Let's go back to our original premise. No, our original premise is wrong. No, I could not learn it out from divorce and kachim. Why? Because I would think that shlichus doesn't help at all anyway, because there's a lot of stringencies by truma. And since there's a lot of stringencies by truma, I would think that shlichus doesn't help unless I have a specific pasuk that says shlichus helps by truma. There's something very negative about truma that would make me think that shlichus wouldn't help, and I wouldn't learn it from divorce and kachim, and therefore I need gamatem. So it's coming back to tell me why I dafka need a pasuk to include shlichus. What? I would have thought, these are the following halachas that are on the books that everybody agrees to. The following. For the master said in the Brises, the Brises says the following laws about truma. Can the following people give truma for someone or not? And the halach is going to be no on all of the following. Atem, the Torah, he says, atem you. Remember it says atem, and then it says gam atem. Really, both words are a little bit extra. Why do you have to say atem you and gam atem? So atem means you give truma, velo arisin, and not your sharecropper. Let's say you have a sharecropper in your field. And the sharecropper, you own the field, but you're not there really. The sharecropper does all the work. Now what happens? At the end of the season, the sharecropper gets his percentage. Let's say he gets 60% of the crop. So 60% of the crop is his. 40% of the crop is yours. So exactly how do we do this? So I guess he takes his 60%, he puts it here, and now you got your 40%. Now what has to happen next? Each one has to give his own truma, no? All right, so the sharecropper should give his truma on his 60%. The owner should give his truma on his 40%. What if the sharecropper, who's being a very nice fellow, he says, listen, why, you know, this big problem over here, 60%, I'll just give truma on the whole thing. I'll give truma for me. I'm already there, you know. And he doesn't do it as being an agent. He wasn't appointed as an agent. But remember, the sharecropper is doing all the work on the field the whole time, the whole year long. He's planting the entire field. He is harvesting, plowing the whole field. He's harvesting the whole field. He's bringing everything in. So you know what? You'd figure, let him just give truma on the whole field. I mean, the owner's got to give it anyway. It's an absentee owner, really. Sharecropping is an absentee owner. He's probably in Florida. Okay? He doesn't want to bother with the stuff over. Let an absentee guy take care of everything. So you know what? So let the sharecropper just give the truma. Doesn't have to tell the guy.
100%.
Give it on all. Yeah. Let's say he harvests all the whole thing,
yeah,
and he'll give 2% on the whole thing,
yeah,
and then he'll take his 60, and the guy's 40. We'll leave for him to take the 40. And I'm assuming with an absentee owner, probably sharecropper's doing everything. He takes all the grain, all the stuff, takes it to market, sells it all, gives the owner, sends him a check to Florida for 40% of the crop. I mean, that's what a sharecropper is. Because if the owner was there, he'd be working on it. So the owner's not there. So you'd think, you know, the sharecropper's doing everything. So you think, okay, so without agency now. I'm not talking about agency. I'm not saying where the guy appointed him. Let's say the sharecropper on his own, you know, he's doing everything. He decides to just separate the truma because it's something that's got to happen anyway. The owner didn't ask him to. He wasn't a shliach. He just does it. So we're going to see in a minute, v'lo arisim, sharecroppers do not, when they separate truma, does not work. Okay? That's what he's saying at that middle of 37. The Tana teaches a sharecropper may not separate truma from the owner's share of the crop without the owner's authorization. But we see you and not sharecroppers. Okay, now, again, that's what the Torah is saying, Atem, you, the owner of the field, give truma, not others, not a sharecropper, which is it makes sense. I mean, after all, the owner has to give, and he's not the owner. Who else? Atem velo shutvim. You and not partners. What if two people jointly own a field? So the one partner, for instance, it's my day to be here. I'm harvesting all the stuff. Again, partnerships, there could be different things going on. Because listen, we have a 50-50 cut on this, but it could be, you know, one partner goes in one day of the week, the other partner goes in the other day of the week. Guess what? At harvest time, this partner comes in. He says, I'm harvesting already. You know what? I'll just give truma for me and my partner. Again, a partner cannot give truma for the other partner unless there's permission given. Okay, what other exclusion? Atem velo apotropos. And you and not an appointed administrator over fields. Now, quite often when there are orphan children who cannot take care of their fields, so we appoint an apotropos, which is a fancy Aramaic word for an administrator. The administrator cannot separate the truma for the orphans. The orphans themselves, if they're old enough, they take it up and they separate it. What happens to kids much younger? It's different stories. But the kids are even an apotropos, who again is generally managing the crops for the kids. But unless he's been specifically designated by the kids, he cannot take truma. What else? Also, atem and you, v'lo atara meshena shalom. What if another person decides to be a good Samaritan? You harvested your field. And you're busy, and the other yid walks by and says, you know, there's a whole field, the guy didn't separate it. Maybe he's busy, who knows. I'll do him a favor. I'll separate the truma for him. Remember, separating truma took work. It's not just, you know, a 2-second job. Sometimes you got all the crops, and then you gotta physically, imagine if you got, I don't know, 1,000 bushels of apples. So you'd have to take a minimum of 20 bushels out. So it takes time to schlep 20 bushels and separate them from the crops. The guy says, I'll do the guy a favor. I'll separate the crops for him. I didn't ask him, right? And he does it without the guy's permission. Okay? So these are all excluded from the word atem. You are not a sharecropper. You are not a partner. You are not an administrator. You are not someone without permission. So I would think, you know, we're being pretty strict. We're really being pretty particular. We want the owner to give the truma. And I would have thought, personally, if I didn't have a Torah, I think, well, why couldn't the sharecropper give the truma? He's doing everything else. The owner is in Florida. He just wants waiting for his check. So now I got the owner can't give it. A partner, wouldn't you think a partner could do this too? Certain things. And maybe, you know, an apotropos, an administrator for orphan children. They're running the whole farm as it is. Torah says, no, it's too bad. You can't. The original owner has to do it. So I think if we're being so particular about the original owner doing it, I would think let's add one more thing that you can't do. Ema, I would have thought, Atem velo shluchachem nemi. You are also not an agent. Even if you appoint an agent, it wouldn't work because there's so many cases that are that close to an agent. You know, an agent, let's say, didn't do anything on your field the whole year long. And now a total stranger, you say, go and be the agent. I have guys who work on your field the whole year. We're not even allowing them to do it on their own. So I would have thought, I mean, it's not unreasonable to think that agency wouldn't help. Kamash Malan, therefore, atem, gam atem. I need a pasuk to say that an agent helps. And now I need a pasuk for agency, because I could not learn it. We thought we could learn it from divorce and korbanos that are already on the books, learn from that. But no, you see already by Truma, we're very particular that the owner should be doing it, even though people who are very involved in this can't just go and do it. So I would have thought an agent wouldn't work, and therefore I couldn't learn agency from divorce and kachim, so I need a specific of gamatem, gam, to include the agents as well. Let's see how the notes say this. The Gemara concludes that according to Reb Shimon, the word gam also is needed for the very purpose the Gemara had originally suggested way back in the beginning of last week, to teach that a person can appoint an agent to separate Truma on his behalf. The Gemara had earlier assumed that the word was not needed for this, since it was believed that the application of agency to Truma could simply be derived by way of analogy from the laws of divorce and the Pesach offering. That's what we thought. Now, however, the Gemara suggests that the analogy alone would not teach us this, since it could be argued that Scripture explicitly denies an agent the capacity to separate Truma. It could have been argued that the word atem you excludes all persons from separating Truma, save the owner of the produce himself, just like the other four groups are excluded. The word gam also is thus necessary, for it teaches that there is also another person besides the owner who can separate Truma, namely the agent whom the owner appoints. So what is the Gemara then now? Because of Reb Shimon, who holds that a goy's truma is not truma, and I don't need to exclude a goy, according to Reb Yonah, who says that they're not in the category, they can't give. So we need an answer for Reb Shimon already. So we'll say, according to him, we couldn't learn truma from get and kachim. Once we're saying that, I guess we could use that as an answer for everybody. And now we understand why we need to have the third source by Truma as well. Okay, so at this point in the game, we're holding at, guess what? We have a source for divorce, Heshlitas, we have a source for Kachin, and we thought we could have learned Truma from those two. Now we see, we wouldn't have thought that, because since we see the Torah so particular that only the owner should give the Truma and not a lot of different other people, I would have thought that an agent also couldn't. So I need Gamatem to say, I need a pasuk for agency by Truma as well. So all three need a pasuk to teach them, and then we'll learn the rest of the Torah from those three. Yeah.
So I get that. But there's something in common with all those other people, the partner and the guardian, none of them have explicit permission. Whereas we're saying if they did, they'd all be eligible to be the agent.
Right? Well, we don't know. Maybe even agency wouldn't help too. That's what we're saying. Without gum, if we're saying these guys can't do it, then maybe even an agent can't do it.
Yeah. That's why you need gum.
We would have said one more. Atem, you, and not agents too. Nobody, just you, period. The owner alone, period. That's it. When the Torah says atem, you give it, we already know it can't be the sharecropper, can't be him, can't be him. We haven't discussed the idea of giving permission yet. But you know what? And then I say, and also I say a fifth category. And even a guy with permission can't do it. Now you think some people don't need permission. That's the point. Why would a partner need permission? You know, we're talking about, it's not a Jew with a partner with a goy. The goy doesn't want to give truma. It's a Jew and a Jew. Now, I'm working with you, Shelley, and I know you have to give truma, man. It's not like you're not going to give truma. You're not a Russia, so you're going to give truma. We're partners. Listen, you go to the bank 1 week and you put all the deposits there. I don't go to the bank and do that. A month later, I went to the bank. I did the deposits. One day, you got yourself dirty working on the field for a week while I was in Florida. Next week, you're going to Florida and I'm getting dirty for a week. Right? So like, you know, it's like, you know, you do what has to be done, I do what has to be done. Guess what? Today is Truma Day. Today is Truma Day. You know, there's other day were other days. Another day you had to go and pay the local taxes to the government, local government. You had to go and wait in line for 4 hours to get, pay the $1,000 check. Right? So today I'll give the Truma. I mean, you'd think that's part of what the partnership is. I say, forget it. It's gotta be, no, you own 50% of this property. You have to give on your own Truma. That's a big chiddush. The Torah is already saying a huge chiddush that you can't do that. Right? A sharecropper. The whole reason I had a sharecropper is I could stay in Florida. Right? I don't want, well, you think I gotta give the Truma now? Yes, sir, you gotta do it. Well, if the Torah is being so particular, may not even let me appoint an agent. Now, Gam, only with Gam do you now say, yes, an agent will be accepted.
So how come when you buy produce from Israel, we have to take, we go through this thing like...
Because there are those farms who don't take off.
But we're not the owner of...
But you bought produce that was untithed. That's tevel. It needs to be tithed.
No, the point is you as the agent.
It's not, you bought it now. You own it now. I bought it.
So it's like my crop. So
you have bought, quote unquote, temporary tray food. In other words, that food, if the owner does not separate truma and maaser from the field, the entire field is tevel, it's treif. It's like, you know what it's like? Let's say you buy a cow from somebody. You buy a cow from somebody. You say, well, I don't have to shecht it because it's the other guy's cow. He didn't shecht it. Oh, no, you got to shecht it, man. It's not shecht. It's not kosher. It's not ready to be eaten.
So you're the equivalent of the owner of the crops.
That's right. Once I bought food that is called tevel. That means it's untithed, prohibited to eat food. Now, of course, I can't tithe it for him when it's in his field. But now that he sold it to me, I own 50 oranges that are untithed. We have to give truma. I'm the owner now. So now I have to give truma.
So the original owner can sell tevel?
We didn't say he could sell it.
Okay. But if you did, okay.
Yeah. We didn't say he could sell it, but it's been sold.
If you did,
so the Rabbanut is telling you, listen, we already sold the whole land of Israel to the Goyim. They already own the land. This is the Palestinians. I'm surprised. The Palestinians have not used this as one of their sources that they own the land. It's Chas V'Shalom. I shouldn't know. But can't you imagine Palestinians say, listen, even the chief rabbis acknowledge that we own the land. I'm surprised they haven't done it yet. Because how could Israel be your holy land if you sell it to non-Jews?
Right.
That's not, you have to be careful. Okay, I understood it was done because people were starving and this and that. You know, you had to do it. There was no choice. The Jews were going to die. But you understand where rabbis said, we don't agree to this idea. What's this business selling? Go give the truma. I mean, there is an aspect to live as a Jew lives in Israel. You give it to, you can't give it to a Kohen. We have to burn it, whatever you would do with it. 2%, you have to take a loss of 2%. That's being a Jew is all about. So, anyway, so the Rabbanu said, listen, it's still fine. Rabbanu said, listen, we hold it's fine. And they're saying it's done legally. Since it belongs to a Goy, they don't have to give Truma. Those who are saying no, that it needs that Truma's around. And there's some places, maybe they don't even sell to the Goy now. I don't know. Secular Jews who says, what if a secular guy owns a farm? A secular Jew owns a farm somewhere in the Golan. Yeah? It's my field. It is his field. He owns the field. What's he want? You can imagine a rabbi goes up, listen, you want to sell your field to a Goy? He says, Ma pito, I'm not going to sell my field to a Goy. It's my field. So the government of Israel is going to say he can't sell the land. They don't care about that. So just sell it. Finished. Right? So you have these problems. So now that it comes to your house, so now you have to know. Now there are some few Moshavim who do take off Trumas and Maestras. They do it. So then, but you have to know which ones. That's the issue. Okay. Yes, sir.
Rabbi, so can the owner or the partner appoint his sharecropper or his partner to be his agent?
Now he can. Now that we have the word gam, because of the word gam, you can appoint your sharecropper.
Practical answer.
Okay, right now at this point in the game. Well, at the end it's going to be yes, but we not know why. So right now what we've basically done is come back full circle at this point. At this point, we'll stop over here, is how do I know that you can use an agent for truma? I don't say it's a kal. I learn it from the other two sources, and I don't have to use gamatem for something else. I need gamatem to teach me shlichus, but why wouldn't I learn it? Because there's a plenty of reason to think it doesn't work, because so many other people can't give truma for the owner. So I think a shlichus not, so gamatem shlichus can. We'll